So my name's Lisa. I'm a clinical psychologist and I've been working with children and families and also educators and communities for a very long time.
And Lisa, we're here to talk about a subject that when I raised it recently in the office, everyone was absolutely fascinated and had a story to add about imaginary friends.
Yes, it's a topic that often gets raised in my private practice, and I think it's something that a lot of parents are naturally quite concerned about, but it is a very common phenomenon. So we know that about two-thirds of children will invent an imaginary friend at some point in their development.
Two-thirds seems like quite a lot.
Yes, it is quite a high number. We know that for some children it's quite a short experience, and for other children that the friend can linger for many years. We also know that eldest children are more likely to have an imaginary friend, as are only children. I suspect that maybe having an imaginary friend there allows them a kind of playmate to experiment with some social skills and maybe set themselves some new challenges, which they can then take those experiences over into real world play as well.
But I imagine that the oldest child having an imaginary friend would be for similar reasons to an only child, insofar as they would be used to the experience of being alone, at least until a sibling comes along.
I think so. I'm not sure of the research on that, but I suspect that that's probably the case. And I think also once the younger sibling's there, sometimes their play skills or their social skills don't actually match the eldest child's yet. And I think if that older child is really looking for a little bit of a social challenge or wanting to reach that next level of development socially, they might be ready to try out some new things. And it's really safe to do that with an imaginary play partner because they won't receive as many challenges back. So I think there's lots of factors at play there.
And I think you mentioned a minute ago that often when you're contacted by parents that the tendency tends to be concern, but it seems to be that imaginary friends are actually generally a healthy part of childhood.
Yes, I think once upon a time it was kind of assumed that having an imaginary friend reflected some kind of social difficulty or that a child was really struggling developmentally or emotionally. But we actually know from research that that's really not the case. Children with imaginary friends tend to be less shy and they actually have better perspective-taking skills. So they're better able to put themselves in someone else's shoes. And they also have better language skills in some cases as well.
So it should be a thing, if anything, that's encouraged rather than discouraged, perhaps.
I think if a child's displaying an imaginary friend, or for some children it might be an entire imaginary world that they've come up with or a group of friends, then I think it's safe to say as parents we can really sit back and relax and enjoy it. It can be really quite insightful watching your child interact with their friends and the conversations that come up. So I think it's a nice stage of a child's development to experience.
Is there any particular age when an imaginary friend suddenly appears?
It's usually between the ages of about 3 and 7. So most imaginary friends will start to fade out by the time a child reaches about 7 or 8 years of age. But for some children, it will actually continue throughout their teenage years as well. So some of them linger for a really long time. It's important to know that for children, even though to us these things don't seem real, they're very vivid interactions that our children are having, and they feel quite real to them, and they are, you know, their life experiences that they're having with these friends. The children will, interestingly though, most of the time tell you that they know the friend is not real. So there's usually that awareness there, but the actual experiences that they're having feel really real to the child.
And do we know, out of curiosity, if boys or girls are perhaps more likely, or is it I imagine it would be a fairly even split?
I think I was reading a research paper about it that suggested that in the early years, so the years kind of 3 through to 5, so preschool years, then girls are actually slightly more likely to have an imaginary friend. But then once they reach school years, it tends to even out, and boys or girls can be just as likely to experience that.
Is there, I'm just wondering, a usual form of what an imaginary friend takes? I know in my experience as a child, I think I had a Mrs. Kangaroo that was my imaginary friend. So it was very much sort of animal-based. Is that usual? And again, sorry for throwing such a difficult question at you.
No, that's fine. It's not difficult at all. I think it's really normal for imaginary friends to take all kinds of forms and shapes. They can be other children that appear quite normal to the child, or they can be animals, they can be fantasy creatures. Sometimes they can also take the form of what we call personified objects. So it may be a favourite stuffed toy or something that the child has created this personality and this character for. So to the child, it feels real. And I think a prime example of that is, a famous example would be Hobbes in Calvin and Hobbes, you know, that he has this best friend that is actually a stuffed toy at the end of the day. So it really can take all different kinds of forms for children. And as I said, sometimes they can create really elaborate worlds around this friend as well. It's a really fascinating thing to kind of understand and to watch in children. It really is. It's the sign of a really active, healthy imagination in children.
And I guess a sign of creativity as well, particularly when you're talking about constructing imaginary worlds.
Absolutely. I think it's a great outlet for children to really explore their creativity, and it's a really safe way for them to do it as well, because they're in charge and they're in control of this character and this world, and they're really they're experimenting and exploring it in a really safe and lovely way. It's wonderful to see children that are really curious and using their imagination like that.
It's often been said that Charles Dickens invented childhood, if you like, and I'm just wondering, do we know if imaginary friends are something that has always been around for as long as children have been children, or is it likely more a sort of 20th or 19th century phenomenon?
It's definitely not a recent phenomenon. I think they've been around for a very, very long time. I'm not sure of the research on it, but I do know that historically it was not seen as such a good thing. So it was perhaps not something that was talked about so much, whereas these days we know that it actually can be a good thing for children to have an imaginary friend. So we're starting to research it a little bit more and have a better understanding of when these things tend to emerge. I would say it's been around for as long as children have been around, because it is a really vital part of play to have an imagination and explore role play. For some children, that doesn't take the form of imaginary friends, and that's okay too. So children aren't missing out on anything necessarily if they don't have one, but it's certainly not something that should be feared. And I think our perspective on that really has changed over the years.
Is there, on the odd occasion, are there any times where there perhaps are warning signs when a parent maybe should see a child psychologist about an imaginary friend?
I think there are a very few number of children that will develop an imaginary friend as a way to try and cope with and process trauma or really strong feelings and emotions. And I think just being quietly aware of what the conversations your child might be having with their friend, or any kind of common themes that keep coming up. And if there is anything that's really concerning to you as a parent, then, you know, really trust your gut instinct, and it doesn't hurt to seek help. For the most part, for most children, an imaginary friend is just a source of comfort and friendship and a way to really explore their social world. It's really down to that parent instinct. If you feel like something's not quite right, absolutely seek some help. But I think for the most part it's something that we don't need to be too concerned about.
And I didn't even ask, did you have an imaginary friend when you were a young person?
I don't think so. I can't remember. And that's a really interesting question, because most children don't remember, the parents do. So you'll ask a parent if the child had imaginary friends, and they will remember. But most children will tend to forget their friend as they grow older. My eldest son had three, so he developed a little group and they always played together on the trampoline. So Hank, Millie and Sarah lived at our house for quite a while, but he's since moved on and doesn't remember. So,
goodness, I've never heard of three imaginary friends. He was very popular.
Yes, he obviously really wanted some playmates.
And Lisa, for parents listening who are aware that their children have an imaginary friend, I imagine a lot of them are probably wondering, should I interact with that friend? Should I set them a place at the dinner table or put a cushion on their chair of a night time?
I think it's fine to interact with your child's imaginary friend or to ask your child questions about them or to show an interest. I think the key is to try not to take over because the friend is a really unique expression of your child's imagination, and it's really important that we let our children be in charge of that. I think we just need to make sure and be mindful that our children aren't using the imaginary friend as a scapegoat to get out of things or to blame any misbehaviour on.
Can that be common that, no, it wasn't me that took the last biscuit, it was my friend?
Absolutely, yes, they will absolutely use the friend to blame things on, and I think we need to make sure we're not allowing that.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.